Thank you, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend out there, and if you can join us over the course of the next hour, we would appreciate it, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course we are welcoming your participation. That's very, very important. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So all you have to do is call. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number. Honestly, we do. And it is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And we will be, as I said, giving you questions in a couple of minutes here. But just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, M-I-N-D-S-O-V-E-R, M-A-T-T-E-R, and then it's all strung together in one word, at yahoo.com. So that's mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. We don't read the emails on the air unless the phones go out, and that has happened, but tonight we probably won't. They all get read, so feel free to email us at mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear the show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, my hopes are always high. Sometimes they're dashed, sometimes they're not. But the podcast will be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org and iTunes and et cetera, et cetera. So all that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Kira Pace's favorite Pride parade is still Reykjavik in 2014, but she has high hopes for this year's cavalcade here in the city.
I do have high hopes. I think this is going to be a super parade this year.
If they would just push the floats a little closer together, there's just like always like a 10-minute gap in between.
Well, you don't
people
like
are
a
staring.
You don't like a five-hour parade.
No. And then all you're left to do is look at the people on the other side of the street and how they're dressed. So.
Well, Lori Fisher wants to assure our listening audience that the Minds Over Matter pre-Tony Award red carpet event is, as always, a hit. Fellow panelists Kira Pace and Dana Rodriguez, as well as the entire studio audience, look dazzling on tonight's red carpet, and we all await two great shows.
We do. I wish everybody could see what I'm seeing right now.
Do you appreciate my sequin affair?
I do.
It took hours to get into.
And Dana's as well. Mm-hmm. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, says goodbye to Adam West, the Batman of his youth, whose straight-faced delivery made even a small child laugh.
All right.
Very nice.
So that is us. We'll begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
All right. So last week, Lori Fisher embarrassed us with a question where we could not come up with the answer, Robin Williams. And it was actually the second time that I missed the answer of Robin Williams, the first being my very first time here. So I have a round on Robin Williams. He has been in 15 movies whose title is the name or an epithet of the character that he plays. What are they? And I'll note that it's not something like The World According to Garp, because there's if the movie were called Garp, that would count, but it's not. It's The World According to. So 15 movies that the title is the name or an epithet of Robin Williams' character.
So it's either the name of the character or something the character says.
No, an epithet. Like
or an epithet.
Right.
Oh, okay, all right.
And a short description of the character
that
he plays.
So Mrs. Doubtfire is the first one that came to mind.
That's 14 good. More.
Yeah.
Not 1 hour photo.
No.
the one where he plays the clown who helps kids.
Oh, God.
That one.
Oh, the clown who helps kids.
Yeah, who are dying in the hospital and are
studio I'm sorry. I thought you meant Chase the Clown. I'm like, no, that's Bobcat Goldthwait. Jerry.
Patch Adams.
That's correct.
Right. And help from our studio audience.
Oh, Bicentennial Man.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
He was a very funny guy, but he made a lot of terrible movies.
But he made a lot of great movies.
He made some good movies, too.
He did.
It bounces out.
This is good. We'll
all right. Okay. Why don't you repeat the question?
Sure. Robin Williams has been in 15 movies whose title is the name or an epithet of the character that he plays. What are they? And we already have Mrs. Doubtfire, Patch Adams, and Bicentennial Man.
Okay. And Lori, why don't you go ahead?
Well, I was going to ask a second, but since Dana's introduction was about Adam West, who passed away this week, I have some Batman questions.
Oh, I do too.
Thank my friend Rick Clogger. See if we have any in common.
All right.
Let's see. I'll ask these. It was a 3-year the show ran for 3 years, and only once was somebody nominated for an acting performance on the show. Who was it? Three wonderful people played Mr. Freeze. I don't know if they rotated, but they were in and out. And then I'm glad that somebody compiled. So, you know, they had like holy, you know, Shazam, that kind of thing on the screen. They said the word holy 352 times. Holy hole in a donut. Holy chutzpah was my favorite. If they alphabetized them, which they did, what would be the first holy and what would be the last one? So who was nominated for an Emmy for acting in the Batman series? Who are the three Mr. Freezes, all really well-known performers or Hollywood people? And the first and last holies, if they were alphabetized?
Well, the holies used to refer to whatever the situation was at the moment. You know, whatever.
Right, like holy Oreo.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Right.
And so I bet both of these did that. And so as a hint, not much of a hint, one is A and one is a Z.
Oh.
So.
Is the Z zebras?
It is not.
Okay.
I'll pass that by, and I'll go with the people that made Mr. Freeze. It's George Sanders, Otto Preminger, and Eli Wallach.
That's it. Give yourself a bell on
right.
that. Those are the three great Mr. Freezes.
The acting awards, would they be either Julie Newmar or Frank Gorshin?
Well, you meant Frank Gorshin.
Gorshin,
and that's who it was for playing. And which character did he play?
Wasn't he Two-Face or something like that?
He was not
the Riddler.
He was the Riddler.
Okay, sorry.
He
sorry.
Personified the Riddler.
I'm sorry. I was less than born at that point. So.
And
that's an excuse.
I read today that he actually went on he was the only person who ever went on strike from the show because he wanted more money. And they replaced him for one episode.
Yeah, I know who it was. Do you? We'll
I'm
add that.
I'm trying to remember here.
Okay, so we'll add that. Who replaced Frank Gorshin? For one, I think it was either one or two episodes,
right.
A kind of well-known person, but not nearly as great as the great Frank Gorshin. Yeah. And so we're still looking for the first, the alphabetically first and last holies. And there were many, as I said, 352. I'm just looking, unlike Kara, is looking for 12 more. I'm only looking for two.
Did they actually have a list of all of them?
They did.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call.
The internet has many things.
Yeah. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Carapanine and Sit from Hayward.
Hi, Kara.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, remember where you were.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about Mr. Freeze. You know which one of the, Otto Preminger, which one of the Mr. Freezes he directed?
Oh, gosh. So he directed either Eli Wallach or George Sanders in a movie.
George Sanders, yeah.
Yeah, well, you remember George Sanders, right.
Yeah. See, I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah, the one actor who played the Riddler. Is it the second time?
Yes.
It was John Astin.
It was John Astin.
Oh, John Astin. Okay, good.
Yeah, but I thought he was miscast.
In everything he was in, perhaps.
Yeah, except
what?
That,
no.
No, not the Astin.
No.
Okay, so I don't want the John Astin fans on me on that one.
Okay.
I think
Harry.
Frank Gorshin came back for one episode of the final season.
Say that again, Gareth. I'm sorry.
Gorshin came back for two episodes for the final season, one which had Joan Collins as a siren.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That Frank Gorshin returned. Yeah, I'm getting a John
right,
Astin
okay.
look.
Right.
Here's my two questions.
Yes.
After the Mickey Mouse watch, what is the only other piece of Disney merchandise still on the market today?
After the Mickey Mouse watch, what is the only other?
What is the other piece of Disney merchandise still on the market today?
You mean, aren't there lots of pieces of Disney merchandise on the market?
Yeah, I'll give you a clue. It's a beverage.
Oh, Donald Duck orange juice?
Right.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah. Here's my second question.
You always sound so disappointed.
Answer one of the questions I asked last week. Before the Warriors played in the Yom Coliseum, what did they play before that?
Oh. What did the Warriors play before the Yom Coliseum?
Did they play in the Cow Palace?
Yeah, give yourself a bell.
Good job. All right.
Nice.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
Good questions.
Okay.
I need to point out that Harry Stone's dad and Gomez Adams were two perfect roles for John Astin.
You know what?
So, okay.
I'm going to concede the point.
Okay. Yeah. Married to Patty Duke, too.
Yeah. Mr. Duke.
Yeah. Okay. I will give you a couple questions here. All right, I'll make them more involved than usual, I guess. Okay, I'll do my Batman question at the top here. Might as well. I have to take off the George Sanders because that was part of the question.
No, sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So there were five Batman villains who won Academy Awards for acting, believe it or not. Not for Batman. But there were five Batman villains who won Academy Awards. And it could be supporting actor or actress or lead actor or actress. But we'll eliminate Mr. Freeze, who was George Sanders, who's already been mentioned.
So we're looking for four more.
So there are four more.
Halle Berry count? Are we talking about new Batmans or
only
just
on the
Adam West Batmans?
Adam West
okay.
Batman. Right. So there are four Batman villains from the Batman, Adam West Batman, that won Academy Awards besides George Sanders.
I think I know two of them because this is something I was reading about.
Okay.
So one is Art Carney.
Yes.
Who played the Archer.
Yes, that is correct.
And then one, this surprised me. I remember Art Carney, but I did not remember that Ann Baxter. Did she win? She won a supporting actor, and she was
did,
on that.
She did, for The Razor's Edge.
Yeah, so she played a villain, too.
She did.
Yeah.
But what's the name of the villain?
Olga.
No.
Yes. No? It's
no,
not Olga?
It's not Olga.
Okay.
And you had the right kind of name, but it's not Olga.
Okay.
I mean, it's the right, like...
Like it's Russian.
Cultural
yeah.
back, yeah.
All right. In reading about her this week, I was surprised to learn that she was somebody famous's granddaughter. Do you know who that is?
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah. I had no idea. Anyway, so those are my two so far. Let me think on the other two supporting actors.
I met her many years ago.
You met Ann Baxter?
I did. When she was in San Francisco filming Hotel, they used some background stuff
yeah.
in San Francisco. So.
And? Kind, nice.
She was very nice.
Yeah,
she signed a picture for me.
All right, so we're looking for two more acting Oscar winners who played villains.
All right. Okay, so yes, so we have actually three more that are still on the list of Batman villains who had won Academy Awards.
Even with George Sanders out of the picture.
With George Sanders out and with Art Carney out, there are three left. Okay, second question. This week, it was announced, more than announced, the ship was actually launched, that... They named the newest ship in the U.S. Navy after a living person.
What's her name?
Gabby.
It's Gabby Giffords.
Gabby
right?
Earl yeah. Giffords. Very
yes.
good.
Very
so,
nice.
It's quite unusual to name a ship after a living person. All right, so I'm going to give you some questions about U.S. Navy ships named after women. What was the first U.S. Navy ship to be named after a woman? Now, obviously, these are famous people, or I wouldn't be asking. And you know the latest, which was Gabrielle Giffords. And who was the first foreign leader who was a woman, to have a ship named after in the U.S. Navy? So
would that be Golda Meir?
It's not Golda Meir.
Okay.
So who was the what was the first ship in the U.S. Navy to be named after a woman? And the woman was alive at the time.
Wow.
And who was the first foreign leader to have a ship named after them, also a woman?
Is there a USS Maggie Thatcher?
There is not.
Okay.
How about Queen... Should I stop now?
No, go ahead.
How about like Queen Elizabeth?
No.
All right.
Queen Elizabeth
II? How about
II?
Queen Victoria?
No.
Okay.
No.
QE2?
No.
Okay.
No, remember, these are Navy ships.
Yeah.
U.S. Navy ships.
All right.
So,
Elizabeth II was military.
Nope. No.
Okay.
No.
And how about Eleanor Roosevelt for the first one?
There was a ship named
but
after.
She's not the first.
The Roosevelts, but
okay.
But no, I don't think specifically Eleanor.
Okay.
But again, so what was the first ship in the U.S. Navy to be named after a woman? It was a woman who happened to be alive at the time. And who was the first foreign leader to have a ship named after her?
How about Grace Hopper or Elizabeth Blackwell?
There is a ship named after Grace Hopper. There was a ship. Or there still is. It's still in service.
Hooray.
But that is someplace in the middle there. It's not,
okay.
it's not
so
one
before,
of the ones I'm looking
before
for.
Before Grace Hopper, right?
Yeah. You know Grace Hopper.
Yeah.
Okay. The mathematician. All right.
And they named a ship. I didn't know they named it. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. All right.
And let's go to a show. Or a show. Let's go to a call.
Let's go to a show.
Yeah. All right. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Big Radulman, Carnell.
Hi, Big Radul.
The week you were off running around in Europe and Lori was in charge,
Uh-oh.
And trying to turn it into a sports show.
What?
No.
You were on that, Gary. Yeah, go ahead.
You had a woman call in about the San Francisco Giants, and when they were in New York.
I remember.
Previously, they were not the New York Giants. Do you remember that?
I do. I remember it was, we didn't get it, and I don't know whether he ever gave the answer. Do you have it?
No, I mean they started out as the New York Gothams, but that was only for 3 years in the 1880s.
My guess is that was what she was thinking of, but I can't. Maybe she'll call back. Yeah. But thank you for reminding us of that. Dana, you missed that wonderful moment.
The cat goes away, and this is what happens.
Yeah, sorry I ratted you out.
All sports, all the time.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I warn them, and then they don't pay any attention to me.
Here's somebody who was in the news recently. Her name is Edith Fuller. Why was she in the news recently?
Floor? F-L-O-O-R?
Fuller.
F-U-L-L-E-R.
Edith Fuller. And that is her real name?
Yes.
Okay. And she's been in the news. Okay, I read all the old bits. All the big ones, anyway. Let's see. Can you give us some... Frame it just a little bit for us, like what area of kind of...
Well, it was involved in a contest.
A contest.
Did she win an event or some kind of competition?
Well, not so much win, but more the fact that she was a participant.
Yeah. Well, she wasn't one of the American Ninjas. Her name was Jessie, like the lady who keeps winning there is Jessie something.
No.
Did she have anything to do with the National Spelling Bee?
She did.
Oh, oh good
nice.
For you.
And was she the 5-year-old child who was in the finals?
She was. Very good, Laura.
We have I'm going to give it to our studio audience. Sue Schweik is here. And she
I was going to guess that she was the one that won the $447 million the other day. My future wife. But
the future Mrs. Rodriguez.
I haven't met yet, but I'm madly in love with her. But
isn't it true you're changing your name to Dana Powerball?
Yeah.
Okay.
But very good. I'm glad Lori got that.
Yeah, one other question about the spelling bee.
Yes.
Since 2008, what do all the winners have in common?
2008.
Are
they Indian,
heritage?
South Asian heritage?
They're all Indian American.
Yeah. Right. Well, they work harder at it, so. Yeah,
they practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two hours a day about.
Yeah.
So I have a what do they have in common question, and it's not like the bizarre one I asked you last time.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so I'll give you five names.
Yes.
Ralph Bellamy.
Right.
Milos Forman, Mikhail Baryshnikov, A.C. Lyles, and Floyd Patterson.
Ralph Bellamy, Mikhail Baryshnikov, A.C. Lyles,
Milos Forman, and Floyd Patterson.
A.C. Lyles. A.C. Lyles was a producer of B movies at Paramount.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Right.
Ralph Bellamy, of course, the actor.
So you want to give us toss us a hint at all, like a left-handed biographical kind of thing, or where they grew up kind of thing?
Floyd Patterson.
No, it's just they all happen to show up at a specific place at a specific time.
This is a really left field thing. Does this anything to do with the American Film Institute by any chance?
No.
Okay. So they all showed up at the same place.
Right.
Like a presidential inauguration kind of thing? Like a political event or a news event like that?
Well, I guess you could have called it a news event, although that wasn't the purpose of the
Was
gathering.
It a sporting event of some sort?
Was it a funeral?
Yes.
It's a funeral.
A funeral. Okay. So, Ralph Bellamy, was it James Cagney's funeral?
It was.
All right.
Oh, well, how'd you pull that together?
Well, I know Ralph Bellamy was a good friend of his, and I don't know. A.C. Lyles probably knew him pretty well, too. But Floyd Patterson, I don't know. But
and anyway. Barishnikov? The dancing?
Well,
thing,
he was they were both dancers. And
Yeah. Well, that's a disparate group. That's a good question.
All right.
Yeah, that's quite a funeral.
Thank you, Big Radu.
Okay, that's it for this week.
Okay.
More sports coming up. Stay
no
tuned.
More sports coming up, please. Bye-bye. And Kira, it is your turn.
Can I take a quick guess at this A to Z holy whatnots?
You do.
Thing?
Yeah.
How about Zydeco?
No.
What about Zipper?
Not Zipper.
Okay.
Holy Zipper would be pretty funny,
all
but
right.
They never used it.
All right.
Zagnut.
I don't think there were many. No, that's not true. I was going to say there were no products, but they did have holy Oreo, which I thought sounded good.
They did.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
All right, I'm giving you your choice. Do you guys want tourist locations or do you want deathbed quotes?
Tourist locations.
Tourist locations?
Oh, you probably want deathbed quotes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, the deathbed quotes frequently are apocryphal. That's why I like them. Oh, good.
Sorry.
See, I like
all right,
this is good. We know.
So
we have handouts here.
According to TripAdvisor and VoucherCloud.com, these are the top-rated tourist attractions by country. So I'm going to give you an attraction, and you tell me what country they are the top-rated attraction on TripAdvisor. So,
Hagia Sophia, that's that ugly woman that hangs out in front of Sophia.
Right. So we have the Basilica de Sagrada Familia. Or Sacred Family Basilica.
I'm sorry, what do you want from this again?
I want this country that
not the city.
No, just the country is fine. So if you want to give the city, that's great. Some of these you're not going to have a city name for because they're not even in a city.
And you want to go through the list first?
Yeah, I'll go through the list.
All right, go ahead.
You can pick them up. So the Sacred Family Basilica, Hagia Sophia Museum, the Door to Hell Gas Deposit, Avenue of the Baobabs, Iguazu Falls, Nylon Pool, Devil's Pool, Gorky Central Park, the Vasa Museum, Gullfoss, the rock-hewn churches of Lalibela, and finally, the private antique car collection of Prince Rainier III. I don't want to give anything away on that last one.
Well, I'll take Prince Rainier's probably Monaco.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Top attraction in Monaco.
For that. And then I'll go with Gorky Central Park being Russia.
No.
No?
Nope.
Okay. Dana, you've probably been to all these places.
No, I think Gorky Central Park is actually in Belarus.
Nope.
There is a Gorky Central Park in the middle of the capital of Belarus.
Quite possibly.
Okay, but it is not the one. I'm saying there's more than one Gorky Park.
I'll buy it, but it's only the top tourist attraction in one of these.
It's not Belarus. You're
no,
sure about that?
I'm positive.
Okay.
Positive. I've crunched the numbers.
Is it one of the formerly Russian republics?
It is sort of Russia related, even more so these days.
So Ukraine?
There you go.
Oh, okay. Kiev. All right.
Maybe it's Kiev. Those are my two.
All right.
Okay. The Basilica de the Sagrada Familia, that's in if I'm not mistaken, that's Barcelona.
Yes.
Spain, or mm-hmm. Catalonia, soon to be the Republic of Catalonia.
Mm-hmm.
After October 1st, they're having an independence vote on October 1st, non-binding.
One of the Gaudi.
Yes.
Yes.
And the Sofia, the is the formerly the Christian church, Constantine's church in Constantinople, Istanbul.
It's
Turkey.
Yep.
Iguazu, my pronunciation is terrible. Falls. I believe that's Venezuela.
Nope.
No, but it's no. Wait a minute now. Oh no, it's northern Argentina, isn't it?
Mm-mm.
It's right on the Argentina border.
It's so northern Argentina that it actually transcends the Argentinian border.
It's Canada. To Canada.
So it's. Okay. It's so...
Oh, but you're so close.
Yes, it's not... Is it Brazil?
It's Brazil.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll stop. Oh, no, I have to say the Vasa Museum.
You do.
Yes, you do. I put that in for you.
Which is Sweden, Stockholm.
Yes,
so,
okay.
The rest are out there for the callers.
So why don't you go over the ones that haven't been?
Sure. Door to Hell Gas Deposit. The Avenue of the Baobabs.
Many a wonderful weekend there.
Nylon Pool. Devil's Pool. Gulfos. And the Rock-Hewn Churches of Lalibela.
All right. Oh, the Rock-Hewn Church. All right. I think I know that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Jeffrey.
Hi, Jeffrey.
I've got a couple answers for Robin Williams, at least ones I hope are correct.
Yes, right. Please.
Good.
Popeye. Oh.
Yes, that's the first one, 1980.
Fisher King.
Yep.
Well, good.
He counts as the Fisher King.
No relation to me.
The Absent-Minded Professor.
I think it's actually called Flubber, the one that he's in, so no.
This is a wild guess. Mork and Mindy the movie.
Oh, Dare to Dream, but no.
No.
Dream on.
Then let me try Batman villains. Eartha Kitt.
It has to be somebody who won an Academy Award. It's not Eartha Kitt.
Victor Borgia.
No.
No.
You're thinking of Victor Buono, maybe.
That's who I'm thinking of, King Tut, right?
Right, but he didn't win an Academy Award on it.
No, probably not. Well, all the rest are even less qualified, so I think I'm probably out of answers.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And, Laurie, it is your turn.
All right, so stay on the comic book theme, but this time I'm going with Wonder Woman, which I saw this week and liked very much.
I saw it, too, this week. Like it was okay.
Yeah.
It was, you know.
Anyway, so I have three questions, one of which is one of my favorite questions. It's like a golden oldie. So the first one is I was surprised. I did know that she was part of the DC Comics. I didn't know what DC stood for. So that's my first question. Second question, thanks to Sue, is what is the link between the creation of Wonder Woman and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band? There's a pretty direct link between the creation of both of those. And the third one is... William Moulton Marsden, who invented Wonder Woman.
He was a very kinky man, by the way.
He was. And he also is partly responsible for the invention of a real invention, a technological invention.
Yes. Yes. I heard this talked about on Terry Gross.
Yeah. So what does DC stand for in the DC comic world? What is the link between the creation of Wonder Woman and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band? And what did William Moulton Marsden invent? And he's partially responsible for the invention and... It's pretty cool. It's part of her character as well.
Lie detector?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Very good.
Very good.
Yay.
Thank you.
The clue help? Yeah.
I get one. I can sit
He was
the
a psychologist. He invented the blood pressure cuff that went into the making of the polygraph. So I think that's pretty cool. And in the movie,
I think he used it for something else in the beginning.
And what would that be? Tying up calves.
I refuse to say.
Anyway, so DC and the link to Sgt. Pepper's.
Not District of Columbia, I'm assuming.
It is not.
Is the link to Sgt. Pepper cover related?
Yes.
Did he draw the cover or did he design the cover?
No. Who? Marsden?
Yeah.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
But it's cover related.
It's cover related.
But does he have a character on the cover? Is he himself on the cover? No,
Marsden's
probably not.
Not on the cover.
Is one of his creations on the cover?
No.
No.
Okay.
But it has to do with the cover.
It does.
Does it have to do with somebody on his staff, like the inker or anything?
No.
Okay.
It's the representation. There's a representation on the cover, and that representation has to do with the creation of Wonder Woman. They're related.
Huh. Is it something Amazonian?
Kind of.
Okay.
I don't want you to go too far down that, but it's...
It's nothing to do with Margaret Sanger, is it?
It's not.
Who was an inspiration for Wonder Woman, or one of the inspirations, I think.
She was. Marsden lived with Sanger's niece and was very close and claimed that Sanger was part of that kind of feminist spirit. Was
yes,
very
he was
much
very,
in
close.
Mind.
Yeah. Very close.
So was it another one of the inspirations, was another one of his inspirations for Wonder Woman on the cover of Sgt. Pepper?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. I'm out. It's your turn, tag team.
This is good. You're right at you're knocking at the door.
Well,
and it came up last week
when
I was talking about the cover.
There's a statuesque woman on that. I'm trying to remember who it is, but he that has something to do with.
Oh, is it one of the something girls?
Yes,
Vargas girls.
So Marsden specifically wanted the Vargas girl to be his inspiration for the look of Wonder Woman, and the there's a Vargas girl on the cover of Sergeant Pepper's. Very good. So now the easy one, DC.
Hmm. All right. That I don't know.
Is it Dick Clark?
It is. It's not.
I was interested that Wonder Woman, the movie, was set during the First World War. And how many movies can you think of that have been made in the recent history have been set during the First World War? Not zero.
Yeah, and especially since Wonder Woman is set during World War II when it was invented. I had actually asked somebody, and they said, no, it's a World War II, and it was about anti-fascism and all that. And then whatever reason they had, they set the whole thing in World War I.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Is the guy in the booth bouncing? Does he know the answer to this?
He just likes to bounce.
He's bouncing. I don't know if he knows. He can talk to Dana if he knows the answer. Maybe Steve.
Is D like Dime or anything like that? Is it currency?
Dime Comics.
It's not Dime Comics.
All right.
Is D the dime, though?
No.
Okay.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is technical editor Kira Pace, Professor Emeritus, Dabo Valley College, Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, you go ahead.
Sure. Robin Williams has been in 15 movies whose title is the name or an epithet of the character that he plays. What are they? And we have Popeye, the Fisher King, Mrs. Doubtfire, and Patch Adams. Oh, and Bicentennial Man. So 5 out of 15. Also, according to TripAdvisor and VoucherCloud.com, these are the top-rated tourist attractions by country. So, Door to Hell Gas Deposit, Avenue of the Bay. No, it's actually very impressive. Avenue of the Baobabs.
It's a retirement community.
The Nylon Pool, yeah. Devil's Pool, Gullfoss, and the rock-hewn churches of Lalibela. So you tell me the country that those are the top tourist attractions for.
And I have, in the Batman TV series, they use the word holy in front of words 352 times when alphabetized what would be first and what would be last. And then in the world of comic books, both Wonder Woman and Batman belong to the DC house or stable. What does DC stand for?
Z Zorro.
Yes. Z is Zorro. Holy Zorro. Very nice.
Very good.
You worked the Z corner
very
well.
I worked through all the Z words. Yeah. I got through all of them.
Yeah, the A is tougher.
Was that it for you?
That's it for me.
Okay. And let's see. Oh, yes, the Batman villains. I'm talking about the TV show, the 66 to 69 or 68 TV show. There were actually five villains that were Academy Award-winning actors, could be Best Supporting or Best Actor or Actress. So far we have the Archer, Art Carney, and we had Mr. Freeze, George Sanders. Who are the other three on that list who had won Academy Awards?
Didn't Ann Baxter count?
Yes, Ann Baxter counts, but you didn't have the right name. Ann Baxter.
I got the hard part.
Very good.
Yeah.
Two and a half are out.
And
we're looking for Not Olga as her name.
Right, Not Olga. And the U.S. Navy ships, they just named the newest U.S. Navy shipper, Gabrielle Giffords, this week. What I want to know is what was the first ship in the U.S. Navy to be named after a woman? And what was who was the first foreign leader, and it was a woman, to have a ship named after her? First foreign leader to have a ship named after her. And again, who was the first woman to have a ship named after in the U.S. Navy? Okay, let me do this question. This is kind of tough. But we'll see. I think you might get a couple of them. These are famous novelists who moonlighted as screenwriters. So I'm going to give you, one, two, three, four, seven movies. Mm-hmm. And I want you to tell me, there are no repeats in this, I want you to tell me the famous novelist who was a screenwriter on these movies, okay? Or they're all different. So, again, these are seven movies. Tell me the famous novelist, and they're all famous novelists, I guarantee you, who were screenwriters on these movies. You have to match them up. Number one, Pride and Prejudice and Jane Eyre. So this famous novelist did the screenplay for both of those. Pride and Prejudice and Jane Eyre. Number two, The Loved One. Number three is Three Comrades. Number four is Land of the Pharaohs. Huh. Number five, a more recent movie, Up Close and Personal. Number six, The Innocents, which is a version of the Henry James Turn of the Screw. And number seven, The Blue Dahlia, which is film noir. So again, what famous novelists were screenwriters for these films? Number one, Pride and Prejudice and Jane Eyre. Number two, The Loved One. Number three, Three Comrades. Number four, Land of the Pharaohs. Number five, Up Close and Personal. Number six, The Innocents. Number seven, The Blue Dahlia. I'll give you each couple guesses.
Is it ever the case that the person wrote the book that this...
No.
So it's no case.
They're just famous novelists who also did screenwriting.
So is The Loved One Truman Capote?
It is not Truman Capote, though he is on that list.
Yeah,
I thought it would be Evelyn Waugh just doing his own, but evidently not.
It's probably not Jane Eyre doing the screenplay for Fred Pritchard.
Remember The Loved One, the tagline with The Loved One was a film with something to offend everyone.
Yeah. Good tagline. All right, so Truman Capote's one of them.
Yes, he is one of them. So what famous novelists were screenwriters?
Was he up close and personal?
He was not.
Okay.
This is good.
Anything else?
Well,
any other guesses?
I mean, did Emma Thompson work on Pride and Prejudice at all? But she wouldn't be a screenwriter, really.
No, with the Pride and Prejudice and the Jane Eyre I'm talking about, the Pride and Prejudice is the 4D version with Greer Garson and Laurence Olivier. Jane Eyre is the 44 Orson Welles version.
So almost for sure it's a man, right?
If it's going to be a man.
Yeah.
But there were plenty of women screenwriters at the
time. How about The Blue Dahlia? Did Faulkner work on that?
He did not.
Okay.
Though he's on the list, too.
Yeah, he's on. I know he did The Big Sleep. He's most famous for that.
Right.
I was hoping you'd ask that.
No.
Okay. All right. I'll guess Capote for The Innocents.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Get one of them.
Very good.
All right.
And anything else? Okay. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hi, this is Carol in San Francisco.
Hi, Carol.
And I'm calling with the name of one of Robin Williams' movies. The movie was Jack.
Yes,
Jack.
That is correct.
Right.
Don't remember Jack.
You don't know Jack?
He was like a giant kid. He was like an 8-year-old kid in the body of Robin Williams.
Oh, right. Yeah.
There's a bunch of those movies. Yeah, I missed that one. Yeah.
Well, I know that one because my son was actually in it. In a teeny tiny part, but they used a lot of kids from the Bay Area.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, that's it.
All right, thanks, Carol.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And if you'd like to join us here, the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter, 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call.
Hi, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hi, Ed.
I've got a couple of guesses, and they're probably all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
One of them I think I got. On Batman, Holy Abacus.
That's not it. It wasn't on the list. That would be it, never use it. I like it a lot.
I can imagine them with King Tut or something like that.
King Tut was a character, but they didn't use it.
The Batman villains... The first name that came to my mind, and I'm almost certain I'm wrong, is Ethel Merman, because I don't think she ever won an Academy Award, did
no,
she?
But she was a villain. She played Lola Lasagna.
I knew she was on the show. I just didn't think she fed the award. DC, how about Detective Comics?
That's correct.
Very good.
Very nice. Detective Comics.
Excellent.
Nice going.
So my youth wasn't completely wasted. I got a bell.
Almost, but not completely.
Almost.
If that's the verification, you're in good shape.
Is that Raymond Chandler?
The Blue Dahlia is Raymond Chandler. Very good. Good.
Okay. Good work. Those are my two bells for the night, and I'm happy.
All right.
Now, my question for you. Coming up this week is my favorite national observance of the year, because it also happens to share my birthday. When is Flag Day?
It's on your birthday. I know that. Isn't it June
14th? What day is Flag Day?
Isn't it June 14th?
It is. It's June 14th.
Yeah.
What year did Congress first approve the design of the flag that turned into Flag Day?
1777?
You're absolutely right.
Nicely
77.
Done. All right.
Which president first recognized Flag Day by national proclamation?
Boy. Is it 20th century or is it before?
It is 20th century. It took a while.
Yeah, I thought so.
So how about Woodrow Wilson?
Seems like absolutely right.
Very good. Very good.
Woodrow Wilson, 1916, and it took kind of a grassroots promotion to get him to do it.
Yeah.
Good.
Now, a couple of quick trivia questions about the flag itself. How many red stripes, how many white stripes?
Seven red, six white,
yeah.
Okay. How many stripes are next to or even with the blue field, and how many stripes are below the blue field?
It's four and three?
Oh, five, five, and it's five and eight, right?
Oh, right.
Is it nope.
Is it six and seven then?
It is, and I lost my own notes here. It is six and seven, but in
good job.
Order. Is the blue field more than half or less than half?
Well, if it's six and seven, then it's less than half.
Good. Yeah?
I'm not sure which way you're saying six and seven.
Well, if it's,
how many stripes are next? How many stripes high is the blue field?
Is it six stripes high?
No.
Okay.
It's actually seven stripes high, and there are six stripes underneath it. So the blue field is actually taller than half the flag.
Is it? Okay. All right. All right.
Which stripe color is immediately below the blue field?
Well, that would be white.
That would be white.
Yeah, very nice. Makes sense.
And my final
I was
question,
ready with the other
is
answer.
Is it six and five stars? Six stars, five stars. Repeated.
Actually, you know what? I had that one in my head, and for some reason I didn't write it down. But yes, I was going to ask about the pattern of the stars.
I'm just going to pre-call your question.
It's just like Jeopardy now.
Yeah, very good.
Now, what's the last question?
Rows of sixes and fives. What other U.S. institution, that's the best word I could think of, institution, shares June 14th as its birthday?
Institution. Is it a public institution?
It is very much public,
is
yes.
Is it some sort of arm of the federal government?
I think I would say that.
You think you would say.
Okay. Yeah.
It's the official last day of school.
No.
No.
Is
there
something like the FBI, CIA type thing?
Yeah, not quite.
Not quite.
Not a department of the government, but it is national, federal.
Post office?
No.
It's not the Supreme Court, is it?
No.
No, we don't know.
It's the U.S. Army.
Oh, okay.
The U.S. Army was also formed on June 14, actually 2 years earlier in 75.
Thank you, Ed.
Okay, thanks a lot. Good night.
All right, good night.
I have a Batman villain guest who won an Academy Award.
Go.
Didn't Eli Wallach win an Academy Award?
He did not.
Oh, he did not.
No.
Ooh.
I have a Batman guest for you. Is it Aardvark?
It's not Aardvark.
Okay.
Holy Aardvark would be great.
Right?
And certainly top before, yeah.
Before Abacus,
yeah.
Man.
Before
okay.
Abacus, but not it. Yeah.
Huh. What are the, since we're got 15 minutes left. What's on the A's, the Batman and the mm-hmm. A's, what were the first two letters? I know A is obviously the first letter, but what's the second letter?
G.
Oh. Okay.
And it's not agriculture. Hopefully
not,
agriculture.
Not aggravate.
It's not aggravate, no.
Aggravate, I that too. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
With the holy Agamemnon?
You know,
I like
it
that.
Should be. It's an AG, but no, it's oh, not no. it. Yeah.
I want to take a couple of stabs at your U.S. naval vessels.
Yes.
Is the foreign leader Queen Victoria?
It is not Queen Victoria.
Okay. And the other one, Margaret Chase Smith?
It is not Margaret Chase Smith.
Oh, good guess.
That's an excellent guess with Margaret Chase Smith.
I have a question.
Yes.
What do these three people have in common? John Wayne, Prince Charles, and Duke Ellington.
Well, John Wayne was nicknamed Duke. The Prince Charles is the Duke of Cornwall, and
Duke Ellington, is not a real Duke.
Not a real Duke.
But very good.
You got
the
it.
Coolest Duke.
All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Isn't it the Duke of Edinburgh?
I'm sorry. Say it again. What'd you say? The Duke of Edinburgh?
I heard the Duke of Edinburgh.
Are you there?
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
Excellent. Hi. How about I start out with a question?
Okay, good.
What famous author, who is an answer to one of your questions, died the same day as C.S. Lewis and JFK?
That would be Aldous Huxley.
Indeed.
November 22nd.
Is he one
I guess you should probably say which movie he's the answer to then.
Yeah.
Should I name both of them?
Yeah, go ahead.
Pride and or Prejudice and, I guess, Jane Eyre.
That's correct, yes.
Huxley was on the screenplay of both of those.
He was indeed.
That's
yes.
great.
Before he died.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we've got Robin Williams, Jacob the Liar.
Yes.
Very good.
Which, little known fact, no one has actually seen that movie.
It doesn't really exist.
World's Greatest Dad, which I have seen and enjoyed.
Yes, that is a fantastic movie written, directed by Bobcat Goldthwait, who is an underrated writer. Yeah. Citizen Kane with alcoholic clown movies.
Easily one of my favorites. Let's see what else is left. The Avenue of the Baobabs. I'm going to guess somewhere in East and Africa. Let's go with Ethiopia.
Nope. Ethiopia is an answer, just not to the Avenue of the Baobabs.
I was just going to follow up with, and I'd like to guess Ethiopia for all of the others.
You're going to have to be more specific if you want that bell.
Nope.
If you want that sweet, sweet bell.
No. I think, and then I need to guess a word that begins with A-G. Agriculture.
It's not agriculture. Holy agriculture, it is
that's
not.
That's far worse than Agamemnon, so I got nothing.
Holy Attorney General.
Agate?
Holy aggravation.
Not aggravation or agate.
All right.
Yeah.
All
of which are better than
much.
All of those.
Thank
are
you very much.
Better
appreciate
than what it is, by the way.
All right.
What about aglet?
Is
not
so
aglet.
is Ethiopia then the rock-hewn churches?
Yes, it is.
That's what I figured. Christian country. All right. There we go. And, Kira, do you have something reasonably short?
Sure. Here's a quick question.
All right.
Lorem ipsum text, which is used as filler text in graphic design and typesetting, is typically a scrambled section of De Finibus Bonorum et Malorum by what first century BC writer? Which is to say, name a first century BC writer, I guess.
Was this person an historian?
It's not Herodotus, if that's where you're going.
Mm, well,
is that where you're not anymore?
Not anymore. Pliny the Elder.
Pliny the Younger.
No. No Plinys. All right. There's zero Plinys on my in this answer.
All right, go over the do the question once more. If you
sure. Lorem ipsum text, which is used as filler text in graphic design and typesetting, is typically a scrambled section of De Finibus Bonorum et Malorum by what first century BC writer?
You know, I took Latin for 2 years, and I barely remember any of it.
I took Latin for 0 years, so my pronunciation is probably just terrible. So I apologize for anyone who's cringing over my pronunciation of that book.
Okay. And this is a name we would recognize?
I think so.
None of the Pliny family.
No Plinys. All of them have been excluded.
All right.
I know
Batman villains.
I know a Batman villain.
Okay, go ahead.
I figured out it's Burgess Meredith who won the supporting actor.
Never won. Burgess Meredith never
for
won
Rocky?
Academy Award. Nope, he did not win.
Oh.
He was nominated.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I
didn't win.
Okay,
mm-mm.
I'll go with that. All right. Well, that's one I was sure of.
And
so, I'll go with Leslie Gore. She played a villain, too.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Let's see. The Avenue of the Baobabs, I believe it's Madagascar.
That is correct.
Very good.
Nice.
Yeah, the Doors to Hell gas deposited in Iceland?
It's not. Iceland's on the list, just not there.
Oh, is it the Devil's Pool in Iceland?
Nope.
Shoot. Okay, for the rest. The first century writer, I never took Latin, but is it Cicero?
It is Cicero.
Oh.
Nicely done, sir.
Yay.
Illinois.
Let's see. Oh, the naval ships. The first one was Martha Washington.
That is correct.
Really?
Martha Washington. Yes. 1776, I believe.
Well, that makes a ridiculous amount of sense in hindsight.
And she was alive when they named it?
Yes.
Yep, I guess.
Anything else?
And the foreign one is the Queen of France.
It is.
Marie Antoinette.
Marie Antoinette. 1777.
Now that's a surprise. Yeah. In 1777.
Don't forget, the French gave an enormous amount of money to support the Americans and sent their navy over as well. So,
I just didn't realize they were naming ships after women then, so that's my bad.
Oh.
Let's see. And so if it was up close and personal, I'm going to guess was Salman Rushdie.
And not Salman Rushdie. Yeah. So it's a woman.
Oh, a woman. Okay. Not a tart. No. Let's see. For the holy A, how about holy agoraphobia?
Such a good guess, and not it. But it's a better answer than the real one. Yeah.
Or holy agitprop.
Also good. Not it.
Okay, that's all I got. I've got one question, which is semi-Latin related. What jazz singer stage name was derived from Pig Latin?
Jazz singer.
Very famous jazz singer.
Pig Latin.
It's going to end in A then. Blublé. Something
Bublé Ubelé.
Is it Michael Bublé? No, he's not.
No.
Is it a man or a woman? Can you tell us that?
It's a woman.
Anita O'Day.
Anita O'Day.
Oh, that's it?
Is that really? Oh,
it
my
is,
God.
Yeah.
Good
she
for you.
From,
that's from Kira.
It from Pig Latin for dough is in money.
All right. That was a
O'Day.
Tag team.
That's
you,
incredible.
Very good. Very good.
I just went with
Excellent.
The days. Yeah. That was a great hint.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thank
Take
you.
Show.
Appreciate it. And Lori.
Agnew. Is
not
it Agnew?
Not Agnew.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Not Agnew.
Lori, do you have something reasonably
I do.
Short?
On May 16th, a museum opened called the American Writers Museum, perhaps the only museum dedicated to writers. Two quick questions. Where is it? Number two is, it's all digital. It's all computer stuff except for, at this time, just one physical artifact. It's a well-known American writer's artifact. What is it?
It's a typewriter, isn't it?
More than that, please.
Is it located in the home or near the home of a famous writer?
No. It's located in the downtown of a well-known city.
So there's no connection to any famous writer?
Not in what I read about the creation of the museum. It was they picked it with this good locale in this city.
It was an old Starbucks or something. Of course, yes.
It's in the back of a Starbucks.
Yeah.
Is it a word processor as opposed to a typewriter?
It's not.
No,
it's
okay.
More
it's
typewriter era than word processor.
Right,
it is typewriter era.
It is typewriter. It's
related to a typewriter.
Is it an IBM Selectric?
It's not.
Okay. And it's not a word processor.
And it's the person associated with this thing that will make you go, oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's an American writer. So
the whole museum is dedicated to American writers.
Is it going
to
be a Melville or Nathaniel Hawthorne era thing?
Well, for a thing, people can't
that
see
IBM
that.
Selector.
I don't like the look on Kira's face when she said those two names. So I'm just going to go with no.
Okay.
It's neither of those wonderful writers.
Okay.
But it's dedicated to the whole history of American writing.
It is. And it has, just in their approach, it's children's writers, it's popular writers, it's very serious writers. I think they've tried to be very generous in who's included as far as what people liked and have liked. And
Telling us the city, would that give anything away?
The city, it would give away the answer to the question.
Oh, would it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is it Boston?
No.
Boston. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't remember that the city was one of the questions.
City, it's a two-part question. Which city?
Oh, I'm
it's
sorry.
A big writer city. And then the much cooler answer is, what artifact do they have?
Right. It's not Boston. Is it Chicago?
It is.
It is Chicago.
So
okay.
The Bell is Chicago.
And is it it's a who's the guy? I'm sorry.
Carl Sandburg?
No. Catcher in the Rye, Salinger. Is
it's
it a Salinger thing?
Not okay. Salinger thing. And
is it Thomas Pynchon's bag over his head?
It is not.
Okay.
But it's a good guess. And the writer is not particularly or at all associated with Chicago. It's just that they picked this to be there.
Right.
Okay.
And it's a good thing. People know about this artifact.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Okay, I'm on. Okay, answer for the Land of the Pharaohs. Is it Leonard Cottrell and Richard M. Powers?
The screenwriter.
Screenwriter.
Yeah, screenwriter. Okay, then I... Yeah, okay, then I'm... I don't know, have the writer of the book. Okay. From last week, that whole thing about ancient Egyptian DNA, you said that there were not any DNA from South Africa. Actually, from sub-Saharan Africa. That's the correct thing to it. Okay, it came out that a red dwarf, our nearest star, is called Proxima Centauri. It may have a planet very much like Earth. It may even have life as it exists on Earth. So that planet is 4.18 light years away from us. If you would travel by your car, let's make an artificial road, and you go there, how long would it take you?
My car.
Yeah. I don't think my car would make it more than one light year.
Non-stop, non-fuel. The limit does not exist. I know the answer to this.
What is the answer? Go ahead. Tell me the answer. How much? How long time? In years?
900 million years.
No, you're very far off. Okay. About 50 million years.
Okay. In the
greater spectrum of things, you really weren't that far off.
What about if we use the fastest rocket we have today? How long will it take? The fastest. Now, remember, this is the nearest star to us. The nearest. Proxima Centauri, which is...
I think Laurie has the fastest car in this room, so...
Not cars. We're talking about rockets. The fastest rocket we have today. How long will it take to go to Proxima Centauri planet that is maybe twin of Earth? How long will it take, you think?
1,500 light years.
Huh? How many?
1,500 light years.
No, no, we're talking about time.
Oh, regular time.
Regular time, just in years.
About 5 million years.
About an hour and a half.
All right, we'll take 165,000 years. Just unbelievable
how
fast the universe is.
It hardly
thank
seems
guys,
worth
Rachel.
It, to be honest.
thank
you very much, Ian.
Once again, off by a factor of 10.
All right.
We'll just factor that in next time.
Okay. One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Hi, Greg.
So the Robin Williams movie, did anybody guess Hook?
No,
but he was not Hook. That was Robert De Niro, right?
No, it was
Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah,
so, I have a guess
on the Batman phrase.
Yes.
This is kind of a wild guess. I used to watch it all the time as a kid, and I think they used to say, "Holy alphabet."
You know what? They might have, but this is before this in the alphabet. The right answer is before alphabet.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, time to clean up here. What do we got?
Okay, the Robin Williams movies that were still out, The Survivors, Cadillac Man, Robots, The Night Listener, Man of the Year, Old Dogs and the Angriest Man in Brooklyn, Nylon Pool is in Trinidad and Tobago, Devil's Pool is Zambia, and Gullfoss is Iceland. Oh, The Door to Hell gas deposit is Turkmenistan.
Okay.
In the American Writers Museum, they had Jack Kerouac's typewriter, and he had put together roll upon roll of paper to go through it so he could never have to stop to put in a piece of paper. It's a very famous thing, and the Batman word was, holy agility. Disappointing, I'm sorry.
Oh, God. All right, the Batman villains who won... Oops.
If you'd like to...
Stop that. No, I don't want to make a call. The Batman villains who won... Zelda the Great was Ann Baxter.
Zelda.
Yeah, and Ma Parker... was Shelley Winters. Shame, who's a play on Shane, is Cliff Robertson. The novelist screenwriters, The Loved One was Christopher Isherwood. Three Comrades, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Land of the Pharaohs, William Faulkner, Up Close and Personal, Joan Didion.
Nice.
So, anyway, let's see, was that it? All the questions answered here? I hope so. All right, if we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our thanks to our panel tonight. Kira Pace, Lori Fisher, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Colin Pidden and Steve Wilcott for handling board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking time to tune in, Colin. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.